accession number 21581, Rule 4.
Ron Apps, Rule 4.
So the difference between life on a destroyer, where you've got just a small community knowing each other, and you go onto a battle cruiser like the Renown, where you had 120 engine room artificers, because you have four boiler rooms, four engine rooms, four gear rooms, all manned with at least two watchkeeping ERAs, and you're on four watches, or three watches. We were on four watches on the Renown. And then you've got ERAs down in the steering gear, and you've got ERAs on the controls for flooding the magazines. One of my jobs when I was on the Renown, if I wasn't on watch and I went to my action station, it was to flood a particular magazine, because chief petty officers could get the order to flood a magazine, even with the men down there, if there was a possibility of that magazine being in danger of ignition. An entirely different life to that on a destroyer. I was surprised how different it was. It was totally impersonal. You were just, in a sense, a number. The only friends I had, in fact, I could meet people today, or I could have met people 10 years afterwards, that had served on the Renown the exact time I was there, and I wouldn't even know them. Because 120 people, certainly watchkeeping, there were people you would never meet, because they would be on watch when you were having your meal or you were sleeping, and then vice versa, they were on watch when you were up top. So it was very impersonal on a ship of that size. I mean, she carried something like, I imagine, 2,000 men. I mean, today, an American aircraft carrier carries 7,000 men. That must be totally impersonal. But the Renown certainly had up to 2,000 men on her.
So which did you prefer, life in a
cargo? Oh, a destroyer every time, yes.
Were there any advantages to being in a capital ship?
I wouldn't have thought so. I don't think there's any advantage. Some of the capital ships, I can imagine people saying that they would rather be on a capital ship, because the one thing I found was when I was on a destroyer, I lived in a roll collar pullover. I very often didn't wear my jacket. In other words, you went around in convenient garb, whereas on a battleship, you were collar and tie the whole time. And it was that sort of situation that there was too much regulation on a battleship, as opposed to the carefree way of living on a destroyer. You know, you always wore your jacket. You never went out of the mess without your jacket on, you know, and you wore your cap on all occasions. Whereas on a destroyer, you only wore your cap if you thought you were going to catch cold in the head.
How do you feel now about having served in the Royal Navy in the Second World War?
Oh, great experience, great experience. I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Mainly because I would have gone to sea at that time, at least within about 3 months of going in the Navy. I would have been in the Merchant Navy anyhow. So I would have had to go on to sea to get my qualifications. And so I utilised that time to its greatest advantage. And when I came out of the Navy, I went back to the P&O group and qualified, you know. I did the rest of my time I had the qualifications ready for my examinations for the Merchant Navy.
Did your war experiences leave you with any after effects?
None that I know of. I didn't suffer from anything that I knew was that could be in any way related to my war experiences. I had no nervous exhaustion or any of these, what you call it, syndromes, you know. Gulf War syndrome is played up like mad at the moment. And when you think of the suffering that some of the people in the convoys, even in North African landings, in the Italian landings, and in the D-Day landings. But, I mean, I've spoken to friends of mine who were in D-Day landings, and they say they're thinking of applying for D-Day landing syndrome, you know, post-D-Day landings. No, I don't think that I can honestly say that I physically or mentally suffered. I would say I mentally and physically developed. It created a sense of responsibility. It created a mind that is willing to analyse. And with all my friends who I meet in both the British Legion, in the White Ensign Club, in the Russian Convoy Club, we all of us feel that it developed us to a point where we are now in our late 70s, early 80s, because of the experiences we had during the war. It made us a tougher gang. Sure of it.